Boy, what an exciting day at the ballpark today as the Giants have a shot to clinch this National League West first time since 2012. Joining us is Susan Slusser, who covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. Susan, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Marty. I am full of anticipation.
Yeah, what an exciting time. And really, it started last night with the Willie Mack Award. And I want to get your thoughts about Lamont Wade Jr. and his family and just the procedure last night and how it went.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen a lot of those awarded over the years, but certainly I'm aware of the award and its importance. And it's just, it's a really special day for the Giants, for the players, the former players, the fans. And I really can't think of anybody more deserving than Lamont Wade for everything that that award sort of encapsulates. Inspiration, character, determination, leadership. And this guy really came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody exemplifies the 2021 Giants better than Lamont Wade. I mean, you got the veterans, sure. You've got this wonderful bullpen. You got a lot of other really nice pieces. But Lamont Wade, for me, is the 2021 Giants.
Boy, very good. That's a good comparison. You're right. They're coming out of nowhere, and that's where this ball club came from, coming out of spring training. So I like that analogy. Very good. How about his mother? She threw a strike to the plate.
She did. And Lamont was a little critical after the game. He was like, yeah, if you know, somebody had taken a swing at that, it would have gone a mile. Like, Lamont, it was a strike. You know, Marty, we do not see a lot of strikes when it comes to first pitches. So that was a beautiful moment. I think Emily Wade has absolutely stolen everyone's hearts. You know, we've all seen the clips of her celebrating as the ball basically sails over her head in the right field stands. And she's just marvelous, absolutely marvelous. I love that moment. That was as fun for me as anything that's happened in a game this year.
Yeah, and it was a good prelude to the game itself because, you know, the excitement started, and we had Bumgarner there this week, which we'll talk about in a second. But here comes Darren Ruff, you know, to pick up the emotion of what just went down with the Willie McCovey Award, the Willie Mack Award. And there's Ruff. He hits one out at 108 miles an hour. He just blasts one out, and that's all the Giants needed.
Yeah, I mean, they just keep finding ways to win, right? How many times during the course of the season, Marty, have we gone, well, they've just lost player X, player Y. It's going to be tough, big obstacle. They lose belt on Sunday. They haven't lost a game since then. I mean, it's just, you know, and Ruff is the guy who's probably going to wind up playing the most as a result of that. Obviously, he's a right-handed hitter, which gives them a little bit of a different mix. And he is showing, you know, he's not just a platoon player. That was really sort of the word on him for a long time when he came back from Korea. Platoon guy, platoon guy. He can do it all. And that was, you know, that was against a right-hander. So Darren Ruff is a huge piece for this team. And again, another guy that kind of goes under the radar, but means so much.
So what do you do with Chris Bryant? He had some trouble in the outfield. He's 3-for-25. I know he didn't play last night. Do you read anything into this?
Yeah, I think his playing time is probably going to be a little more measured. They'll probably pick their spots. The place that he has looked the most comfortable has been left field. I got to say, I thought he was a better defender at more positions than what we've seen. So far, that has not been the case. I'm not saying it's not there, but coming to a new team after a long time in one organization, it can be a little bit of a tough adjustment, no matter how good that team is, no matter how welcoming that team is, and I know the Giants are. And it's a new ballpark. Right field at Oracle Park might be the toughest right field in baseball, you know, especially when you take into account the wind, some of the angles coming off the walls. That is not an easy place to play. Left for me looks better. He has not really looked comfortable at third. We haven't seen him at first. So, you know, they've got potentially options right now. I think that they will play ahead of Chris Bryant on a given night, you know, depending on the matchup.
You know, it's funny, when you have this kind of depth, a couple of guys are not hitting. Longoria's not hitting right now. Wade is 2-for-22, what have you, and we talked about Bryant. But then other people start hitting. I mean, Posey's a couple of hits away from 1,500. Crawford's playing every single day. But the one that jumps out at me, because he's starting to make an impact again, and that's little Mike Yastrzemski.
Yeah, I feel like we've all been waiting all season. He'd just be kind of on the cusp. Like, always looked like he was about to get it going. And then either, he'd run into a wall or, have a bad luck with lining out a few times. And it would sort of set him back a little bit. This time it's really been sustained. I think it's been about over a three-week span. He's picking up the pace. He's doing it quietly. He's chipping in. And he is a marvelous defender, too. This is a guy I did not realize was as good in the field as he is. I've had a couple conversations in the last week about Mike Yastrzemski as a Gold Glove candidate, and don't chuckle, anyone. If you look at it, he's leading all right fielders in outs above average, and he can play a very good center field too, as we've seen. That is so useful. So, yeah, he's going to be, he's one of those guys who I think if he gets it going the way he looks like he is, he could just be huge. But you know what? They do need to get some of these other bats going. Right now, I think Longoria is in there because he is so good at third. He's a little bit like Crawford, and then he makes really tough plays just look incredibly easy. But he is a guy who absolutely – I'm not saying he has to be April Longoria because he was out of his mind in April, but he needs to contribute 100%.
Yeah, he's striking out a lot. I think 16 strikeouts in the 3-for-28, something like that. And I commented earlier on Duggar. I think Duggar is becoming a weapon. And, look, you've covered baseball a long time. I've watched it as well. You like that speed guy at the end of the game, that pinch runner kind of guy. And all of a sudden, I think they're making Duggar that kind of weapon. I like the way they're using him, and he's obviously a good defender.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We've seen how big playoff series can be run using the right pinch hitter, 100%. He's definitely that guy. And this is a team that does, they're good in a lot of areas. Speed is not one of them. They are just not a fast team by and large. Their best players are older and a little bit slower. And, slowing down maybe even a little more. I wrote a story last week talking to Crawford and Belt before he got hurt, obviously, and Ron Wotus about this time of year and if everybody kind of has to be a little more cognizant that as an older player, maybe they've lost a step. And we know Crawford's been thrown out a few times trying to stretch, and he said, yeah, that's very possible. I need to be a little more aware of that. However, I'm not going to change what I'm doing. And that's good. That's what the Giants want. They want him to be aggressive. He's usually picking the right spots, even if maybe he's not getting kind of the good fortune on some calls. So Duggar, that's where Duggar comes in, because that guy is fast. So, yeah, you need a run late, he is your guy.
Well, Posey's caught 4 days in a row, and I know they want to get this done. Susan, I think it's important to get it done today. Give Logan Webb some more rest and give everybody a rest, even though it wouldn't start until Friday. I think it's important to get it done today and not have that pressure tomorrow. Who needs it tomorrow? It'd be nice to have a day of rest.
It'd be nice for a lot of reasons. I think everybody would like to avoid the weird situation where if the Giants lost today during the day and the Dodgers lost tonight, the Giants stick around all day. What do they have one of those kind of lackluster celebrations after waiting around? And, what do fans do? It's you're at your own field, but it's 5 hours, 6 hours late. Nobody wants that. So, taking care of business on the field today is an absolute priority for everything you said, but also just sheerly logistics today. More fun, better celebration.
Yeah, and they got the right guy going today, and I think he's been terrific all year, and Kevin Gausman. I want to get your opinion of it, but, 49 walks, 222 strikeouts, the runners in scoring position well below 200 all year long. He is their guy, 14-6. Maybe he's not perfect the way he was in the beginning, but if you got to give someone the ball, even if it's for five innings and 92 pitches, he is the guy, and he goes today.
Yeah, the fact that he had such a nice outing his last time out was huge. he really did look like he'd figured something out. That's what he said. He said he'd been looking at some video, made a mechanical adjustment, and that was probably his best outing of the second half. He needed that. I think without that, they maybe feel a little less certain about what they might get. It's tough when a guy's essentially a two-pitch pitcher. Something's off, or if a team is just flat-out laying off a spot, or you're missing your spots, you're much more vulnerable. And he can mix in a third pitch, but it's not necessarily as good as the top two. We know he's fastball split, and that's really what he's going to live and die by. When the split is back, when he is throwing it where he wants to, he is very good, and that's what he showed last time. So I think the Giants feel very good. All-star, team leader, there was a reason they gave this guy the qualifying offer. I'm sure they'd like to bring him back on a longer-term deal. He's just been nothing but a good thing for the Giants.
Yeah, he is the guy. 32 games started. How about that? 185 innings, only 20 homers. So the numbers are there for him. 17 solos of the 20, so that's good pitching as well. So I want to give him a little bit of love because this second half has been rather critical of him, but I think he's still the guy on this team. Well, the other guy who's starting to put it together is Doval. So, Susan, what do you do with him? Here we are. Let's say it's next Friday. It's 3-2 in the ninth inning, and you got Rogers in the eighth, and McGee and Doval are warming up in the ninth. Who do you bring in? I guess it matters who's coming up, but you know the point. What are they going to do with him?
It's great to have that option. I'm not 100% sure. There are great arguments on both sides. Jake McGee, obviously left-handed, very experienced. He's been in big situations. He's played in the playoffs. Doval, obviously, virtually no experience in the big leagues, but the guy throws 101, 102, and he looks like he has absolute ice in his veins. We all seen the pulse check and, yes, and all of that, which we love. But, I think in a really big tense situation, all things being equal, probably McGee, just based on the experience, wow. I mean, I don't think there's a manager in baseball that would not love to have either option late in the game. So that is a huge plus for the Giants, whatever they decide. And I'm not sure they can go wrong. Something does go wrong, fans are going to howl, it should have been the other guy, 2020 hindsight, as if every manager is supposed to be completely perfect with bullpen usage and relievers don't have any leeway to ever make mistakes. That just drives me nuts. It's the easiest, laziest criticism there is. But in this case, I'm telling you right now, if Gabe Kapler goes to either in a late-game tight situation, I am not going to criticize him for either choice, not at this point.
Yeah, Susan Slusser with us. I was thinking about it. Things are pretty well scripted. In other words, they know which batters are coming up, and they love the matchups. And they don't get caught in bad matchups. You have to commend them. They've done a great job. But I think the biggest decision is, when do you pull the starter? And I think that's the issue, because once you pull the starter, then the train goes. Then you got Alvarez and Leone. We know who's coming in, and they're fabulous. But I think the one decision Kapler's got to make is, when do you pull the starter?
Yeah. I'm a longtime American League reporter, and to me that it's fascinating in the National League because sometimes it doesn't have that much to do with what your starter's doing. And that's tough, if you need a run and you have to get a pinch hitter in there and your guy's actually throwing well and you don't necessarily want to go to your bullpen early, that's a tough situation to be in. It makes for interesting strategy, but I don't always love it. I kind of feel like you should be able to know when to pull your starter based on how he is performing, where you are in the lineup, et cetera, rather than sort of a just the haphazard nature of where your lineup is coming up. So, that's huge. The good thing is the bullpen has, by and large, been absolutely nailed. No matter how many innings, that third game the other day, he comes out in the first inning, the Giants still win. I mean, that was a Johnny Cueto reliever. Who would have thought it?
What'd you think of him? What do you think of Cueto?
That is a fun day. That's a scoreless outing if Chris Bryant doesn't get turned around on that fly ball. I mean, well, who knows? You can't extrapolate the rest of the inning, blah, blah. But that's really the only thing was that, the misplayed fly ball. So He looks like he's having fun. Some veterans at this time of year in particular might go, yeah, I'm not pitching out of the bullpen. Or Cueto looks...
Whoop, I think
he
Susan...
You still got me?
Yep, you just cut out for a second. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I'm on my way to the ballpark, shocker. Cueto just looks like he's having a blast. So that's another fun development. Guys come from everywhere for this team all year long. Cueto coming out of the bullpen, that just kind of almost makes sense in a weird way.
What a story. 106 wins. They've got a chance here to set a franchise record. And they head into the playoffs. So who would you rather play, the Cards or the Dodgers, assuming the Giants win the West?
Honestly, I think I might rather play the Dodgers at this point. The Giants have played the Dodgers very well this year. They've obviously... lineup is great, don't get me wrong. But, the Cardinals are as hot as anybody.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Now, last thought, I love talking ball with you because we've been down this road before. We've seen the A's in the early 2000s win 100 games or more and not do well in the playoffs, and a lot has to do with the rotation. So Gausman and Webb, they're locked in. What do you do in the three spot? Is there any question about Di Sclafani?
Well, he did have some fatigue yesterday. Now, that makes sense. He did not make many starts last year. You know, his inning load was not big last year, period. He's made a ton of them this year. He has been a horse, but I think he's feeling it a little bit. He wouldn't be pitching for quite some time. You know, he'd have a couple of bullpens, so he should be okay. I love Alex Wood and his, like, the kind of bulldog nature that he has. He throws strikes. He doesn't walk guys. He's left-handed, so I think some of it will come down to the matchup. I think some of it will come down to rest and optimizing either need for rest or not wanting to have a guy sit too long. Alex Wood will have been the guy that sat the longest. So I suspect, especially if it's the Dodgers, it would be Wood in that third spot. But you know what? Here again, I am... a bad answer. I'm really not sure. They've got a really nice complement. I think, in fact, underrated complement of starting pitchers.
Yeah, I would go with Wood because if it's the Dodgers, just assume it's the Dodgers, you got Wood against Scherzer in Game 3. Who knows where you are in the, 1-1, 2-0. You don't know what it's going to be like. But the Dodgers are a little more vulnerable to left-handed pitching, and you can bring Di Sclafani out of the pen if you needed it. God forbid you were down. 1-1 at that point, and you're down in the game. You don't want to go down 2-1. So I'd go Wood. I think Wood gets Game 3 against the Dodgers.
I agree with you. I like that. If it's Cardinals, honestly, I don't know. Pick them. Di Sclafani has faced the Cardinals a ton, more than anybody else, I think, on the team. He's got pretty decent numbers against them. So, he's a guy that could be an option.
Yeah, I'd rather see him against the Cardinals than a lefty because you got to deal with Goldschmidt, O'Neill, and Arenado, and Bader, and Molina, and that crowd. It's a good right-handed hitting lineup. Boy, it's going to be fun, isn't it? This is fun, isn't it?
This is as good a pennant race as you could ever ask for. It's the only downside for me is the team that's second in the division winds up going to that wild card game and could be out by the end of Wednesday, and that's a crying shame if that happens.
Yeah, it'll change next year. That'll be part of the negotiation. I think enough people have made the comment you just made that they will make a change. They'll expand the playoffs. They'll have, 14 teams in, and they'll have the best. Yeah, they will. We can see it coming. Exactly. It's just more negotiations. Hey, what do you think of Bumgarner coming back? How did that feel?
Oh, really fun. Yeah, the crowd loved it. Those are always special moments. I wish he was playing for a better team because we all know how competitive he is, and that's got to be killing him. But, fun moment. He got acknowledged. He tipped his helmet. That was lovely.
Yeah, this is the last weekend of regular season for the professor, Ron Wotus, at third. I hope that it should be a nice ovation for him this weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a great final season on the field for him. I'm not convinced, by the way, Marty, he is done on the field forever, but I could see him taking a year or two. But this is a guy I think, you know, he belongs on a baseball field coaching. I think we'll see him. And you know what? Hey, if it's helping out with Giants minor leaguers, awesome. Or lucky minor leaguers. But I'm not convinced that this is forever.
Yeah. Great. Hey, I love talking with you, Susan. It's been fabulous having you on, and we got more coming up. Believe me, we've got a whole October here, and they're a solid team. Good bullpen. They catch the ball, and they've got decent starting pitching, and usually that adds up pretty well in the playoffs. So we'll talk to you next week or the week after.
It's a plan. Thanks, Marty.
All right, a pleasure. That's Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. Boy, what a month. What a month of baseball. All right, Bill will join us next. With Mark Gonzalez from Chicago. What a series that's going to be with the White Sox and the Astros and a little bit of American League ball. And Gonzo's a Bay Area guy, too, so looking forward to hearing him. All right, more coming up, KMBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.